You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built.
There's reports out there suggesting you stole Tiny Tom Guzzola's tea time. Can you confirm or deny that, sir?
No, I did not steal Tom's tea time. How ridiculous is this? So our good friends over at Weiss Johnson, Dennis and his and company, invited us both out to their charity golf tournament today, which benefits the Down Syndrome Society and is a fantastic event, and thanks for having us out. So we invited both of us out there, and we were both supposed to bring a guest, so we both brought a guest, and there was a tiny little mix-up, and poor little Tom got bumped into a different cart from me. So the paperwork on the cart said Rashog and Guzzola, but when I got there, they said, no, you're golfing with the guest that you brought, who is Cousin Steve, who's a regular contributor to the show. So Steve and I golfed together. Tom saw that our name was on the piece of paper and we were supposed to golf together, and he just threw a hissy fit for the rest of the day because he, all little brothers like quality time with their big brother, right? Didn't get that. So, no, I did not steal anything from Tom. He missed out on the opportunity to golf with me, and he was devastated.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to help you find your ball 125 yards off the tee, right? Like, that to me is a
Drake day. Took some money off me today?
Who's that?
I'm going to jump the shark here and get this story out there. Flippin' Gager took some money off
really?
Me today. Well,
really?
We were backed up at one of the holes, so we decided to have a little chip off. And so it was like a 20-yard chip closest to the target. And, and he cleaned me up on the third chip. So I know he's going to, next chance he gets on the radio or a podcast or something, he's going to get chirping at me. So I'm just stealing his thunder.
Well, I'm not surprised an elite athlete took money off of you. I mean, it's kind of normal, isn't it?
He's finely tuned, that man. He is. Anyway, it was a great day, though, so thanks to Dennis and the whole crew at Weiss Johnson for having us out for a great cause.
Good to hear. All right, well, let's turn our attention to, I think about 20,000 people had a great time last night, but not anyone wearing a Florida Panthers jersey on the bench for Florida. Just a complete game from, minute one till the end of the game for Vegas. What did you see from Vegas that you liked last night?
Yeah, man, They know what the formula is to win this series, and they're just so committed to sticking to it, right? Not getting dragged down into the gutter, not getting outside their game, just being real solid defensively and not allowing a lot of second chances, not allowing themselves to be frustrated, incredible work ethic, just rolling their lines, not overly stressing about matchups. They know what the formula is, and they're executing it, and you just can't help but wonder if Florida maybe peaked a little early here and that layoff maybe stole some of their mojo. The last thing that Cinderella wants is to sit around, a week before the big ball, right? You gotta get in there while the momentum is happening, and it seems the break sapped some of their momentum.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you look at it all, and just the way that they're playing, and, for Florida, it just seems they had good goaltending and they were physical and they're also playing pretty good defensively, but it doesn't seem like they're firing on any of those cylinders now, Shager.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And they've got good players, but has Barkov been noticeable for you?
Yeah, so true.
Hell of a good player. So you could look at Vegas and say, well, look at the job that Vegas did on Draisaitl for the, a good chunk of games in their series against the Oilers. Look at the job that they're doing on a player like Barkov. Such a well-rounded, good player who should be making an impact, who's having a really hard time because they're focused on him. And even Matthew Tkachuk's having a hard time finding his moments, and he's on the wrong side of a lot of the big moments right now. Could have been a series-changing hit, though, I'll tell you that. I mean, what an absolutely devastating clean hit. And that's one thing that Tkachuk kind of has a knack for. That could have been a series-changer, but I was stunned to see Jack Eichel come out for the third period, man. That was next level tough.
Do you believe that Jack Eichel is changing the word on the street about him through this playoff run?
Yeah, you mentioned this last night on our podcast, Struds, and I think you made a good point. Because if we think about what the narrative was on Jack Eichel coming into this season and these playoffs, right? It was more about It was more about things that he hadn't done yet, and more about the frustration of his situation coming out of Buffalo, and more about, you know, his frustration and displeasure, and hadn't really been able to find a true toehold yet. And so here he is in the playoffs, his first really good opportunity on a really good team. And he's not being a selfish offensive player. He's not being, I mean, he's playing a well-rounded game. He's showing incredible toughness. He's showing consistency. Absolutely. The narrative on him, I think, was yet to be fully formed because the situation in Buffalo was so odd. But he's definitely on the big stage. He's crushing it. And good for him, man. It was a rough go for him for a number of years, and I just feel in a lot of ways what we're seeing right now is justifying the decisions he made, to stand up for his health and the way he wanted to handle it. It's all paying off now.
Joined by Ryan Rashog here on the Jason Greger Show. My name is Jason Strudwick on TSN 1260. Thanks for tuning in. You can always shoot us a text at 101260 in the Jiffy Lube inbox to get involved. When you... If I assume that Vegas wins the Stanley Cup, that'll be back-to-back years where the Oilers lose to the eventual Stanley Cup winner.
Yeah.
What is that like? What do you take from that?
Well, I take from it that they're close as an organization. You know, I mean, it's different this year because they gave Vegas a heck of a better run than they gave Colorado last year. Not that they were absolutely dominated, but we all know it didn't take many games, and the Oilers were in most of those games, but didn't feel as close. If Vegas wins the Stanley Cup here, the Oilers are going to know they were extremely close. You know, little bit, some breaks in either direction, and that could easily be them. Like, they're right there. 2 years in a row, if you lose to the Stanley Cup champion, and you look at the way they lost to him this year, Streds, it just tells me, I mean, that should highly motivate those players. You know, I know they were disappointed last year, but felt like they had a ways to go. I mean, wouldn't you be feeling like you were so close if you were a player on that team and the way the series went against Vegas and watching them do what they're doing?
If I would, you'd be excited about it, thinking you are close, but there's still a little ways to go, right? Like, and you're like, okay, you know, and if I'm being completely honest, I believe Colorado was a better team last year than Vegas is this year. That's, I don't know how everyone feels about that, but
I agree
Colorado would beat Vegas.
I agree with you. Colorado was special last year, and they had special players playing incredible hockey.
They did.
Vegas had really good players playing excellent hockey. Mm-hmm. Colorado had special players playing special hockey.
Yeah. So I think you feel better about it, but I think it also really makes you think, like, if we beat one of those teams, we get to the Stanley Cup probably, and then who knows, right? You get to that point, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, just a subtle uptick in the goaltending, and no disrespect to Skinner, you know, and Campbell, like, slight uptick in the goaltending, a little bit more attention to detail defending. Draisaitl went dry for a few games there at a tough time, was obviously really hard on himself. I don't think that happens again. Like, the margins are so thin, Struds, and they're right there. They are right there right now.
Yeah, well said, Ryan Rashog, here on the Jason Greger Show on TSN 1260. Big trade today involving three teams that had very specific outcomes they wanted. L.A. wanted cap space, Philly wanted future assets, and Columbus wanted a D-man. You know, you like this trade for each team, or did one come out kind of ahead in any situation?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I was on the golf course, and I'm reading this thing, and I'm trying to track it all in my head. I'm like, okay, so what is where is what happening? Like, you know, when you're just reading it and you're trying to process it, you almost need, like, a diagram of it to just sort of show what everybody ends up getting. At the end of the day, the Blue Jackets improve their blue line as they see it. You know, Philadelphia, you know, they get a goaltender who, you know, showed some promise. And shown that he can definitely play, and the LA Kings, you know, free up some space. I think there's probably, you can probably criticize each end of it if you really want to, but I agree with your initial analysis. Like, everybody kind of got what they wanted, and so while some people might criticize here or there, or say, oh, you know, LA got fleeced or this or that or whatever, you know, you got three GMs that probably feel pretty good about what they were able to do for their team this year, and they're really getting ahead of it, aren't they? Like, really getting ahead of it here.
When you look at the Philadelphia Flyers with a new GM, and, you know, to be fair, like an inexperienced GM, but he went out and he did kind of what he talked about, moved out a guy that Mary isn't going to be there when they get better. So if I name off these, list off these players, Kevin Hayes, Konechny, I'll go Rasmus Ristolainen and Tony DeAngelo. I'll even put Hartz in that group. Of those five, I know. What is there one or two you think that are next on the block to be moved out?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think they'd like to move Ristolainen if they could, wouldn't they? You know, that I mean, what a name he was not too long ago. But I think, you know, probably hasn't worked out. So that guy there, Konechny just signed the extension though, didn't he? Didn't Konechny do a new deal?
Well, Konechny has 2 years left.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize. I'm thinking Sanheim. Sanheim. I get those two up in my brain. Sanheim is part of it moving forward. You know, good young defenseman. I think they would probably get out from underneath Ristolainen if they could. Though you never know. You know, when a new brain trust takes over, when new people are in charge, they have their own relationships with these people, and they draw their own conclusions based on those relationships. And sometimes people feel like, no, I know this guy. I know we can get more out of this guy than what he's shown. You know, Ristolainen is a good defenseman, and he has shown himself to be a good defenseman, and his cap hit is actually, you know, if he can play well, his cap hit is certainly not terrible. So new people in town might feel like they can extract something different, with a fresh start and fresh voices and that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how to the bone it goes.
Sam, when I'm looking at Philly, I think you got to strip this thing down.
Like, you do,
who,
hey?
Who's their best player? Right? Yeah. Sean Couturier, is he ever going to be the same?
Yeah.
You know, let's be clear. I really like Sean Couturier. Really like him. Ryan Ellis. You know, where's his career at? I have no idea what's going to happen to this guy. So that's two big pieces. Let's assume that they don't come back and play. So now who's their best player? Is it, you know, Kevin Hayes was a player apparently they were trying to move last year. Mm-hmm. Konechny's a good young player. I don't think he's a superstar. Joel Farabee, pretty good young player, same thing. You know, Scott Laudon. And after that, it gets damn thin on that forward group. And then back end, Rasmus Ristolainen, DeAngelo, Sean Walker, like, there's not much there, buddy. They're like one or two more moves out, and this team is taking it right into the gutter. And I think that's what you're going to do if you're Danny Briere. Honestly, I think that's don't you think that signals that with Provorov being moved out?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, who knows exactly everything that's attached to him being moved out. You know, you got Farabee there at $5 million signed long term as well. You know, you look at their recent draft history, like they got Cutter Gauthier in the five spot last year, but really, you know, Cam York a few years ago. You know, yeah, it is thin. You do make a good point that it is thin. And my guess is the new guys coming in have the green light to go ahead and do what they need to do. How do you feel about tearing something down to the studs and rebuilding with Torts?
Well, you didn't hire that coach. So I don't think it matters. And that's with all due respect to John Tortorella, right? Like
But don't you get the feeling, Bud, that he is powerful in this scenario? I mean, I don't know that this is a scenario where the new management's coming in and we'll see what happens with Torts. I think Torts is sitting, like, over on the owner's side of the table looking at the new guy saying, "Welcome to our organization, gentlemen." I think he's got a seat at that table with those guys. Yeah. I'm not sure that's changing.
And I'm not sure that's ideal. Like, I'm just looking at the team and trying to be as honest as I can be, looking at this group. Do I feel that they are two or three moves away from a playoff team? I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that. I think they're two or three moves away from a top five pick. You know what I mean? Like, that's and one was today. You know what I mean? Like, that's so I think they've got a lot of stuff to sort out. And this is not being disrespectful to Tortorella. They have to think what's best. Like, if they just try to keep, you know, like you traded for, you know, DeAngelo or trained for Rasmus Ristolainen, and like, you're just kind of patching over the wound and not really letting it heal.
Yeah. So I got a lot of people texting me asking about Carter Hart today, too.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of texts coming in here as well. Him and John Gibson. I don't know what happened. It's like those two guys are all.
Did somebody dump something on Twitter about the Oilers and Carter Hart? Because
I had seen it. I haven't seen anything.
I don't know. I mean, the Oilers have two goalies. The Oilers' goaltending tandem for next season is set.
Yeah, they're not going to farm out a first round like they did. Yeah. LA did. So, you know what? I don't know. Let's see what happens. But this is something I think it's. As you would say, it's notable they traded away a pretty good defenseman for futures, and I don't think the head coach would be happy with that. I just don't, you know, like Sean Walker's capable, but, you know, he's 28 years old. Is that guy going to be there in 3 years, 4 years? Yeah. I have a hard time seeing
Well, he's one of those guys that you want, like, if you are going to sort of whittle it down a little bit, like, he's serviceable and he can play, but, I mean, they don't have a bunch of youth on the back. I mean, like, Sanheim.
No, they don't.
You know, 27. No. Ristolainen is 28. Like, D'Angelo's, you know, 20. Yeah. What's D'Angelo? 27 years old. So,
yeah.
I don't know, man. You might be right. I just don't think that was the plan. Like, was that the plan when Torts got there to rip her down?
Different management group, right?
Yeah,
and
I guess so.
Someone's texting about Owen Tippett. Yeah, I like Owen Tippett. I think he's probably part of the solution. But Owen Tippett is only 24 years old.
Yeah.
Right? And so we'll see. Shauger, enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll chat with you tomorrow.
Right on. Sounds good, pal. Have a good one.